If you're curious about the value of so-called STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math, consider the life of Colonel Mike Fink, astronaut, has had. 3 space flights, including a 6-month stay aboard the International Space Station, more than a year of his life spent orbiting the Earth. The retired Air Force colonel is coming to Hawaii to give the keynote address at the 3rd annual Future Focus, the Hawaii Innovation Initiative's Forum on Astronomy, Space Exploration, Cybersecurity, and more at the Hawaii Convention Center. He spoke with us earlier today about the ways the space program has changed our lives.
Well, that's the joy of exploration. You set off on a journey and you don't know everything that's going to happen and all of the lessons that you are going to learn. Fortunately, when we started the space program, we knew it was going to be cool and awesome, but we didn't realize how much it was going to change our lives, all the way from weather satellites to help people and to miniaturization of electronics to understanding fundamental things about our universe. I think we're better and richer for it.
Yes, as you said, a lot of that was unexpected, but the very fact that we had that push toward getting into space, it really kind of jump-started technology.
Indeed, and technology is what keeps our country not just strong, but rich, right? It's our high-tech industry that's leading the rest of the world and keeping our economy moving.
Colonel, what was your journey toward becoming an astronaut? Was it a long-time ambition? Was it something you sort of fell into? How did it work for you?
Well, like many other people, I was inspired by the space program. And in my case, I was very young, watching the first people walk on the moon, and even watching the last people walk on the moon in 1972. And it was one of those things, I think some cultures call it a vocation, right? It's a calling. Mm-hmm. And so I just knew that I just wanted to be an astronaut, and I worked very hard, and I fell down along the way, and I succeeded. In 1996, they selected me, and I've gotten to fly 3 times in space, and 2 of them were with the Russians, which I don't want to say as ironic, but it's one of those surprising things of our journey is we had a race against the Russians, and now we work with the Russians.
Yeah, that's one of the things that people don't always understand about the space program. One of the things is that it started, there was a great deal of uneasiness when the Russians launched Sputnik.
Yes, it shocked our country. There was a missile gap, and then there was a education gap, so we began studying science, technology, engineering, and math, helping our children to get smarter so we wouldn't be beat by the Soviets, and then sending things into space, and we stayed behind for a while. In the beginning, the United States was very afraid of the potential of what an enemy, and at that time it was the Soviet Union in the Cold War, could do in space, so we struggled in a race to compete with them. But we soon found that it was better to cooperate in space than to race against each other. And our first cooperation was Apollo Soyuz in 1975, or in Russia they call it Soyuz Apollo. In any case, we learned that it was great to shake hands in space better than to fight or compete against each other. And that set the stage nicely for the International Space Station, which is still flying today. And we work closely with our Russian friends, even though on the ground we might have political disagreements, to say the least. But in space, we work together carefully and for the betterment, and we're doing something constructive and not destructive.
And you experienced that yourself, I mean, as part of your work.
It was quite surreal on my first 2 flights is that I sat on the same launch pad that Yuri Gagarin did and launched into space. Not just on a Russian rocket, but I was a co-pilot.
Uh-huh.
And to fly to the International Space Station for 6 months. And on my very first mission, there was just me and a Russian guy aboard the space station. No visits by the space shuttle. The space shuttle was grounded. And we got along great. In fact, we even did 4 spacewalks together, and that was something very amazing. So there's something special about going to space where it brings all humans together closer.
When you talk to young people in particular, do you think that passion is still there in the current generation, current young generation?
I think we are in a great spot. I get a chance to talk to a lot of young people. Everybody is very curious. Everybody has this feeling that they can be whoever they want to be if they try hard enough. And there's so many young people that are working really hard. So some of them to be, you know, doctors and lawyers, some to be fishermen, some to be just parents, some want to be factory workers, but some want to be astronauts too. And there's a great feeling, and kids these days, they're one with technology. They have their little iPads and tablet devices and smartphones, and they know how to do things. They all want to become dot-com millionaires and invent new things, and that's really exciting for all of us, and it's exciting for the space program. And I'm looking forward to sharing some of my passion with the students in Hawaii in my upcoming trip.
The whole place of Hawaii in the world of astronomy, not just as a location for modern-day astronomy, but historically. Have you been hearing much about that?
Oh, very much so. All the way from the first Polynesian explorers to today's Hokulea expeditions. I mean, that's just fantastic to circumnavigate great parts of our planet without GPS. Like, who can do that? It's amazing. It's a fantastic skill, and it just goes to show how much we are born as explorers. And then you add the astronomy that gets done on the Big Island and in Maui and these other places in Hawaii. Several of my astronaut friends actually, you know, they did some of their astronomy work, you know, at the University of Hawaii. So there's a lot of connection between Hawaii and the rest of the and the whole space program.
You're pretty confident about the future of the space program, the future of education, you know, STEM learning and education, all those kinds of things?
I'm very confident. I know that people realize that that's one of the paths forward in life is to study science, technology, engineering, and math. There's a lot of people that are really pushing towards it, but there's so many things for people that can do this. There's 3D printers are incredibly inexpensive now. There are, you know, you make your own programming classes on the internet for free kind of thing. There's so many opportunities out there that, you know, the younger generations like my Generation X, we didn't have. We helped invent them. And now that they're there, the kids these days have a lot more opportunity. And with a little encouragement from their teachers or their families, then the sky's the limit.
Technology can drive a great deal of innovation. Each new invention seems to stimulate new ideas, doesn't it?
Quite. And not only that, for the most part, technology has made our lives better. I mean, we can light up the night and don't have to fear the dark anymore with our electric light bulbs. And now we have solar panels and LED bulbs, and things become a little bit easier and more fancy and makes our lives a little bit easier.
Well, that's the idea, isn't it, Colonel?
Indeed, we're trying to make things better for all humans, and not just this world, but the other new planets that we're constantly discovering. We should just go out and explore like those early Polynesian explorers and leave our homes behind and find something new.
Colonel Mike Fink, U.S. Air Force retired, will come to Honolulu as keynote speaker to the third annual Future Focus, the Hawaii Innovation Initiatives Forum on Astronomy, Space Exploration, Cybersecurity, and more. The day-and-a-half conference will be held on October 4th and 5th at the Hawaii Convention Center.